The home that God blesses. The blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22 says, "It maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it." God desires to bless your life. God desires to bless you more than you want to be blessed. I now have, of course, graduated into the realm of the grandparent, and only grandparents can really relate to this. If you're not a grandparent, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hurt you, but you have not arrived yet and have this knowledge that we now have. But my oldest grandson, he's 7, and I didn't have any boys. I had 3 girls, so I never knew what it was like to raise a boy, to be honest with you. But now I got my buddy, Bradley Chase. He's 7. And he's my bud. He's 500 miles away from me. He lives in Norfolk, Virginia, but he's up right now visiting. Can't wait to get home on Tuesday night to see him again, of course, and he and Mom. And he has no idea, but I'm just enthralled with him. I love him. I love my granddaughters, of course. And by the way, in honor to Pastor Rich, Eric has a special name. I think some of you know that story, his firstborn. Well, in honor to Pastor Rich, my daughter, Laura, of course, I want you to know this. I have my 2nd grandson, and of course, his name had to be Jackson. And so for Jackson Abel, that's my 2nd grandson. But I love my grandchildren, and I want better for them. I really do. I want better for them than they want themselves. They have no idea how much I want them blessed. They have no idea. Now, I might not ever tell my grandson. I've told him in joking ways and so forth, but I would love my grandson to grow up to be a preacher of the gospel, to be a missionary. I want him to be in the work of God. I want him to be a godly man. I want him to love the Lord. I want him to, if he's meant to be married, I want him to be married to a godly woman. I want him to have great offspring and raise a nation, or rather a people, to serve God. I want better for him than he wants himself. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I want to remind every one of us that we have a Heavenly Father in heaven that wants better for you and I than we even want ourselves. In chapter 1 of Genesis, we read in this wonderful chapter, verse number 28 for sake of time, and the Bible says in verse 27, "So God created man in his own image." And God's a beautiful God. Of course, God's the Spirit, we understand that, but in His nature, in His character, He's all beauty. He's all wonderful. And He created us in His image. Male and female created He them. And verse 28, notice what it says, "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it." God gave the earth to man, not man to the earth. And God, we read down through, we read that everything that God gave, verse 29, for sake of time, I'm not going to read all the verses here, that every living thing, we get to verse number 31, that God made, and He made it for man, He wants to bless us. And verse 31 says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was," and He adds the adjective, "very good." You see, God's pleased when God wants to bless us. God wants to give us His mercy. He wants to give us His grace. He gives us His mercy in sending His Son to die for us, to deliver us from hell. He gives us His grace. He wants to spend eternity with us in a perfect place called heaven. And so we see that this God, if He wants to bless you and I individually, you can be guaranteed, according to Genesis 2, He wanted to bless Adam. He wants to bless the family. God knows that how we need our families. We need godly families in our country and in our churches across America tonight and around the world for that matter. I want to give you 5 C's. In fact, let me give you the message right now for you that might like to take down the outline. And the 5 C's to God's blessing of a home. First of all, there's communion. Secondly, there's commitment. Thirdly, there's complete obedience. I had to put the complete in there to get the obedience in, you know. Number 4, there's cooperation. Number 5, there's condescension. Let's look at these for a few moments in the scriptures this evening. Look at verse chapter 2 again, verse number 18. "And the Lord God saw that it was not good," now get this, "that man should be alone." One of the first great C's, if you will, to God's blessing in the home is that of communion. That of communion. Now follow me for a moment. I don't understand it, but an all-wise, all-sovereign God, He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. And he's El Shaddai. He's God Almighty. He's all self-sufficient. What that means is God really doesn't need us. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need anyone. He's God. And yet, it's one of the mysteries of all mysteries. The God of all eternity, the all-sufficient, all-wise El Shaddai, he desires to have communion with you and I. That's astounding when you think about it. I think of Psalm 8 and the entire psalm for that matter, but for sake of time, verse 3, "When I consider the heavens," the psalmist said, "and the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" To think that the God of all the universe would want to have fellowship and have communion with lowly creatures like ourselves. I was at a certain preacher's conference not too long ago, and I could name the preacher, and many of you know him, some of you wouldn't, it doesn't matter. But I'm leaving him unnamed on purpose tonight. There are 40 or 50 preachers there and several hundred people. It was actually a small conference. He preaches all over the country and all over the world for that matter. He's a very well-named, known preacher. And he's on all the big circuits and so forth, shall we say. And after the service, and I've known this preacher for a number of years. And I knew him before he was a big-time preacher. And after the service, there was a number of people lined up, a number of young people wanted to get his autograph and their Bible and so forth, and the line was kind of long, and he had to preach. It was a Monday night. He had to preach all day Tuesday at this conference and so forth, and I hadn't seen him for really a couple of years in the flesh, shall we say, and so I just said, well, that's he's so busy. And I walked out to my car, and I was getting in my car to go, and several hundred people, and somebody tipped him off that I was there, and he ran out, and he came out to my car and left a whole bunch of people, and he said, "Marty, what are you going to do, leave without saying hello?" And I says, and I mentioned him by name, "Oh, brother, you don't, listen, you get it back in there, you got people you got to meet and so forth." And pastor's a big church, has a big college, big school, all the rest we could talk about. And he said, "Don't you get it? I want to spend time with you." I said, "What?" He said that. He said that several times before. I said, "Listen, you don't have time." He says, "Listen, I want you to take time out. I want you to come visit me. I want to spend time. I want to have fellowship with you." That blew my mind. Why would this big-time preacher want to have spend any time with me when he's got plenty of other people that he could spend time with? How much more? How much more? The God of all eternity. I mean, call the White House tomorrow. See if you can get a personal chat with the president. What do you think the chances are of that? But you, tomorrow morning, in fact tonight, you can have communion one-on-one time with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Communion. And then there's communion between the husband and the wife. God said that it was not good that man should be alone. He wanted to have communion, and so he created man, and he said, well, man needs communion as well. When I think of that communion, I think of communication. There needs to be communication one with another, of course. And we touched on this morning. I'll just say simply this in regards to this communion. Communion begins, first of all, with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, as your Savior. And except the Lord build the house, Psalm 127, verse 1, they labor in vain that build it, except for the watchman, or Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. God calls us to work at our communion one with another, husband and wife, with our children. Well, there needs to be communication. You know, someone has said, and I think it's rightfully so, of course, spouse says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. As Proverbs says, of course, that a word fitly spoken is about like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And any problem, someone has said that any problem can be worked out between a husband and wife if they'll have open and honest communication one with another. Communion one with another. Man and woman was created for the man, and to be a helpmate. We'll get to that in a moment. But the first C to God's blessing, he wants to bless you, so there must be communion. There must be communication within the family. But secondly, there must be, if there's going to be a great blessing of God. Notice verse 23 and verse 24. The Bible says, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." That phrase, one flesh. Well, they're really two flesh. They don't amalgamate and come together and literally, physically speaking, shall we say. But they are called one flesh. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." It says the Lord our God. By the way, that's Yahweh or Jehovah, God, Elohim. God, our Elohim is what it really means. The Lord or Jehovah, our Elohim, our God. It refers to one in unity. One in unity. We mentioned again this morning, we don't always have to agree to have unity. We don't always have to agree to have love. But we need to be one in one accord. A home that God blesses is a home that chooses. We'll not turn to Malachi chapter 2, but it's a very sensitive subject right now in our church body. And we looked at it this morning, so we won't go back there. But we talked about how that God hates putting away. God desires. Wherefore, what God hath joined together, we see it here, and we see it three more times through Scripture, let not man put asunder. God desires that we work at this unity thing. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Psalm 133, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Of course, the Ephesians 5 verses, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. How important that we must understand this commitment, that we must work at unity. How important it is that we let the things go that bother us and say, you know what, it's not worth it. We're going to, I know a certain preacher, and I could name drop, and a few of you would know who it is. He's gone home to heaven now, a very famous preacher, and he wrote a lot of articles, wrote a lot of books and so forth. And he's a fundamentalist of Baptist, independent Baptist, all of his entire life. And we see separation in the Bible. We see separation in the Bible from Genesis chapter 1. Right off the bat, God divided the light from the darkness. Right off the bat, we see a separation. But in this chapter, we see blessings, and we see that everything that God created was good. This preacher, after about 40 years of ministry, he says, you know, I saw the separation in the Bible, how we need to be separated, and how true that is. Don't misunderstand me. But he said, as I examined the Scripture in my older years, I saw unity. And I saw that 1 Corinthians 13, for example, was in the Bible. And I saw the need to be committed and to overlook those things that are going to cause division and separation. The work at unity. The Scriptures teach as much about unity as they do about separation. A perfect, I understand your preacher's going to be preaching on balance. A perfect balance between the two. And so there must be a commitment that involves unity within the family. You've got to decide that those kids are your kids and they're going to be your kids even after they're out of the house, if you will. Yes, son leaves his mother and father. That's true, but he is always to honor his mother and father throughout the rest of his life. Yes, the fact of the matter is that there is to be unity within the family structure in our homes. Then I want you to notice not only communion, if we're going to have a great home, we also need commitment or unity. But thirdly, we need, in verse number 17 of this chapter, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The first prohibition, the first negative we see in the Bible is right here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. God says, all the trees of the garden you can eat of, but this one tree you cannot eat of. And as you see, it's sin that destroys a home. It's transgressing God's law. The problem that we have in America this evening in regards to the breakdown of the family, it's not because of a lack of information. We have more education than ever before. We have more self-help programs than ever before. We have more marriage seminars, marriage conferences, marriage retreats, marriage books, marriage counselors. And in the world, we have more psychiatrists, more psychologists, more analysts, more therapists. And on and on and on we could go. And let me ask you, is the institution of the home better today in America in 2013, or has it deteriorated? No, the answer is not more information. The answer is not more specialist. The answer, the problem is a sin problem. Complete obedience. God says, I want you to follow me, and that's the key to joy and happiness. You need to learn to love and obey, first of all, the Lord. In Deuteronomy 6, turn there just quickly, please, real quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 6, keep a bookmark. Well, you'll get back to Genesis too fast anyhow, I guess. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 12, we won't read them all for sake of time. But notice verse 4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy might. What part of all don't you understand? God says we are to love him with all of our heart, soul, and might. I love the illustration, Brother Donald. Where are you at? Is he in here? Brother Donald. For Pastor Ridge, you probably know this, because I saw it out in North Valley there. They showed, Pastor Treiber showed the clip of my favorite comedian. I'll get away from the pulpit for a minute here. Bob Newhart, remember him? Showed the, you know, he was, when he was, the Bob Newhart show, you know, you old timers, you know what I'm talking about. Young folks say, who's he talking about? He had no clue, but anyhow. So he's having a bad day at the office, and he's a psychiatrist, you know, and this lady walks in and needs help. And she's got, I can't remember the problem she has, but she starts babbling out about all her problems. Oh, I don't know how to stop this. I don't know what to do. You know, this is so hard. I thought I'd come and talk to you about it. And he says, you know what you need to do? And she says, I don't know. He says, stop it. Yeah. And he said, well, no, you don't understand. And she went on for, he said, no, listen to me. Stop it. You know, you say, why are our marriages, why are homes falling apart all across America? Why are people, why are children fragmenting? Why are things going wrong in our home? It's called sin.
Yes.
We just got to stop it.
Right.
God says, let there be obedience. It's the key to joy. Looking back to Genesis chapter 2 quickly here. In verse 18, once again, I want you to notice not only if we're going to have a great home, a home blessed by God, there must be communion, communication. There must be commitment. That's unity. There must be, thirdly, there must be obedience to the Word of God and to the things of God. And we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and might. But the fourth C, if you will, to God's blessing. And the Lord God, verse 18, said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. There needs to be cooperation. What I mean by that is there needs to be order. 1 Corinthians 14 says, in regards to the church, that all things be done decently and in order. God is a God of design. God is a God of order. God's work must be done in God's way for God's blessing. God's home must be run in God's way for God's blessing. God gives an order. He said, we've already quoted it, but Ephesians 5 and verse 23, that the husband, we've quoted 5:25. Verse 23 says, And the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The husband is to take the lead in the role of the provider, the protector, the priest of the home. Remember learning in college, two heads are a monster. Doesn't matter which any institution we're talking about, whether we're talking about government, whether we're talking about the church, whether we're talking about the home. God says, I'm going to make an order for blessing. And I'm going to give this man and to the feminist, and I use that word in the secular sense, to that liberal person or that person uneducated in the Bible. They look at this verse and they say, oh, it just smacks them wrong. I will make him and help meet for him. That word help meet has the idea, that word help has the idea of nurturer or responder or the word literally means this. Say, that's a cut down. The woman subservient to the man, a helpmeet. Well, let me quote you Psalm 70 and verse 5. Same exact word. O God, thou art my help. and my deliverer. God is our help. He's our helpmeet. He comes alongside of us. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I give to you a comforter, a helper, that will abide with you forever. The word literally means this, and I quote, someone who enables a person otherwise incapable. God knew that for a man to be complete, that he needed a helpmeet, he needed a completer. It's far, the farthest thing from the idea of subserviency, if you will. It's on equality. God says there must be cooperation, there must be order. I'm going to put the man in his proper place, but the woman is going to come alongside to be his helpmeet. And together, wonderful things can happen. God can bless that home in a wonderful, marvelous way. We see, fifthly, we see this home that God wants to bless. He says there must be communion, communication. Hey, worst thing you can do, by the way, if you have marital problems, is quit talking to each other. You got to start communicating in love. Watch your words. It's more important how you say your words than even some of the words that you say. There must be commitment. You must decide that you are one flesh. There must be, you must work at endeavoring to keep this unity. There must be obedience. You must recognize that it's sin that destroys. It's not your spouse that's out to get you. It's not your children that are out to destroy you. It's Satan and sin that's out to destroy you. And you're going to obey the word of God because that's the remedy. And then there must be cooperation. You must fall into God's order. And by the way, children, and let me take this quick sidebar and we'll move on to the last point. But maybe you're here, you have an unsaved father. I won't ask you to raise your hand. Maybe I'm talking to some young people that's the case. Maybe you have an abandoned father, a wayward father, maybe just a bad dad. Hey, that doesn't change the fact that you need to love him. It doesn't change the fact that he brought you into this world. It does take a man to bring a child into this world as well as a woman, by the way. We're being taught otherwise in some of our states, and I won't get off on that. But you need to have one man with one woman to bring offspring into this world, last time I checked. How important it is that we decide that we're going to love and honor. Honor thy saved father and thy good mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. No. Honor thy father and thy mother, that their days may be long upon the earth. There must be cooperation, a divine order. Then lastly, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, we have the fall. And I want you to notice verse number 6, and you're well familiar with it, I know. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, sounds like 1 John 2:15 and 16, you know your Bible. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We read in 1 Timothy, you need not turn there, but chapter 2, verse 11 through 15, the expansion of this verse here. We see that the woman was deceived, and she gave to her husband Adam, and he did eat. But the scriptures are very clear, wherefore it's by one man sin entered into the world. And death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There needs to be, for a marriage to be blessed, and for a family and a home to be blessed, and an individual to be blessed, there must be condescension, or there must be, in other words, submission. He's the creator, we're the created. He's the one that we need to submit to. There must be condescension. And here, the man, he pushed off his responsibility and he allowed the woman to make this decision. And he took of it. And as we could all say, you know, we all know the rest of the story. But if submission would have taken place, what if she had gone to her husband, Adam? Hey, Adam, come over here and, what do you think? And gave him, and let him take the role, take the lead. Well, it didn't turn out that way, did it? But submission, or to submit, means to line up, to get in order, to be arranged. Every victory on the battlefield is won by a divine order and by submission and by people taking orders and listening to that one in charge, if you will. Nothing works throughout life without submission. Otherwise, there's anarchy. Conflicts come because we won't submit. And in our lives, we won't submit to that authority in our lives. If we were to go to Song of Solomon, and we won't do that tonight. But that beautiful little poetic book in our Old Testament that we very seldom, or many preachers don't preach from myself. I've preached very few messages over the years, and I keep saying I got to do a series on that, but one of these years I'll get there, hopefully. But the Song of Solomon contains a beautiful picture of a right relationship in marriage. And it's really astounding. You don't sense in that Song of Solomon an obvious authority nor an obvious submission, because it comes naturally. It comes out of a heart of love. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, God's our captain of our salvation. He's our sovereign. Christ is our leader, of course. He's our commander-in-chief, if you will. But Christ lowered himself, took upon himself the form of a servant. He lowered himself for us. He left the throne of glory for you and I. He loved us first, before we loved him. And so he lowered himself, sovereignty, took upon him the robe of flesh and became a man and died as the sin bearer, as our Savior. He loves us unconditionally. I've already used the verse, one of my favorite, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's come to us, and that's the type of God he is. He loves us, and he's going to take us to heaven, every child of God. I love the little song, Jesus loves me when I'm good, he loves me. Even when I'm bad, he loves me. Jesus loves me. The psalmist, or the Song of Solomon, the preacher said in chapter 2 and verse 16, I am his beloved, and he is mine. There is a love there, and God has called every one of us to love him supremely. And husbands, Father's Day, we close with this admonition. You love your wife unconditionally, supremely. You love your wife, you love your children. By the way, if you exemplify that love, 9 times out of 10, you'll probably get reciprocated love back. That's how it worked with our Heavenly Father. Before we ever loved him, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, die for our sins, and he wooed us unto himself. There he is with his arms open wide for all that will come unto him. A home that God blesses is a home that has communion, communication, a home that has commitment, unity, a home that has complete obedience and loves the Lord God supremely, a home that has cooperation, has an order, a home that has condescension and has submission. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray for every home that's represented within this auditorium tonight, Lord. There's